Welcome to the Spark Heart Podcast for the week of February 3rd, 2013. The podcast is a weekly look at the top stories from the Spark Heart Job Seeker and Human Resources blogs. My name is Nicole, and I'm the content editor here at Spark Heart, and I'm here with Patrick.
The marketing assistant.
Yes.
Hey, how's it going?
So, get right into it, huh? Human resource?
Let's do it.
So, should you have a probationary period?
Yeah, is it necessary? Depends.
Depends, and I liked doing some research on this because I found out that the probationary period actually started with union jobs.
Yeah, I read that. That was interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, if you work in a union job and, you know, you're employed, they need to have a reason to fire you.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, at-will employment where they, you know, either party can end, you know, the contract or employment relationship anytime without any, you know, any reason,
real
I guess,
reason.
Which kind of is true, kind of isn't, but yeah, so it started with the unions and, you know, they kind of had this probationary period to make sure that whoever they were hiring was capable and able and, you know, was reliable,
sure.
It makes sense, right?
It does.
Because you want to make sure that you're bringing somebody on that works and that fits and is actually going to get the job done.
Yeah. So, and then eventually over time it started to translate into just a general thing for positions?
Yeah.
For companies, it sounds like?
Yeah, I think companies, you know, kind of adopted it, you know, oh, it's great, we're going to hire this person, but we'll see how they work out before we give them full employment, which a lot of companies still do.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, a ton do. Yeah.
I know I personally had to essentially go through a review probationary period.
Really?
So I get it. Some companies want to ease into things, not make a total commitment to you as an employee.
Exactly. And they want to, you know, I think with the probationary period, it's good because that new employee puts their 100%, you know,
They're going to give their all so they will have a permanent position
exactly.
at the end of that period.
And then the employer knows that if they don't, you know, after that probationary period, if they slip, they know already what's their best.
Right.
So they know,
that's a good call, too. I like that.
But at the same time, it's not always necessary.
Yeah. I know from probably a perspective of someone who's in a probationary period, it can be a little ambiguous. Kind of like you're stuck in limbo. You're not really sure, 60-day period, all right, well, as you approach that time period, you're not really sure, well, what's going to happen? I could be without a job in a few days or not.
Exactly. And the other thing that is kind of bad about the probationary period, or can be ambiguous and confusing, is that after it's over, you know, and it's not a union job, then the employee might think, oh, well, this is great, like a tenure or something, you know?
Yeah, they might think they can't get fired at all.
Yeah, and that's absolutely not true,
right.
Because they can be fired.
Yeah.
And probably will be, you know, in some instances. So, an employer that's an at-will employer, which means, you know, either party can, there's no contract saying, you know, if you're fired, you know, we have to pay a severance pay, we have to pay for the vacation days that you accrued, you know, all that stuff. There's no contract, then, you know, either party can just end, you know, I could just quit or they could just fire me. So a probationary period isn't really necessary because, I mean, their whole employment is kind of like a probationary period because you can end it whenever.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too. And might even argue that if you do a better job of initially screening and interviewing, then you're making the right hires from the very beginning.
Exactly.
So you know, maybe video interviews will help you achieve that.
Always, definitely. So, you know, it's something that obviously your company has to think about on their own and make their own decision. But keep in mind, you know, the ambiguity that comes with the probationary period. And if you're going to do it, you need to make sure that the employee knows how long this probationary period is going to last.
Right, manage their expectations.
Exactly, that they're given feedback during and after, you know, so they can make improvements.
Yeah.
Make sure you're looking for a company culture fit at the same time.
Of course.
And that they know that once the probationary period is over, that doesn't mean that they're going to be employed, you know, until they don't want to be anymore.
Yeah.
So those are all things that you need to make clear if a probationary period is for you.
Agreed.
So another interesting topic, social media policy.
Yeah, for better company culture.
Yes.
We just talked about micromanagement recently and somewhat related to someone really bringing down a hammer on the use of social media in the office.
It's difficult situation for employers, I think, because It's really difficult to, you can't, it's not really micromanaging, but you can't be like a...
Maybe too strict.
Yeah. Some employers will say, absolutely not, no way, you're not going to waste my time, my dollar looking and being on social media sites while you're at work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's really hard for employers to expect that their employees are 24 or, you know,
eight hours, whatever they're working.
5 days a week to...
Constant work.
Yeah.
No kind of brain breaks. Or
yeah. And actually, the article, Heather talked about how, you know, taking 10-minute breaks for your employees taking 10-minute breaks, it's actually makes them more productive.
Yeah. So a Facebook break right there.
Yeah. And I think employers just really don't want to hear Facebook. You know, like, oh, my employees go on Facebook. But...
Yeah.
Or, you know, Twitter or whatever, the social media, Pinterest, they just, it's kind of like, I just don't want it. But it's, you know, it's a good way for employees to take a second. And maybe it's not even Facebook. Maybe it's email or surfing, you know.
Just surfing for an article that you enjoy.
It gives your mind a break, gives your brain a break. And if you don't have that, you know, you might burn out or
I think you need that break during the day. You can't go... so many hours without giving your brain a little rest.
Exactly, and they did that study, right? In the article, they talked about the study where they did a test of, you know, people that were allowed to look at social media and people that weren't allowed to look at it, and it actually turned out that the people that were able to take short 10-minute breaks were
more productive.
Yeah.
Well, they're happier.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, they got a chance to take some time for themselves, but I think the... you know, the social media policy having in place is to kind of monitor so people aren't spending a half an hour.
You can't have a free-for-all. You need to have some kind of policies in place.
Exactly.
So I like the short social breaks idea.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
10 minutes, no more, 10, 15. And, you know, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. There's going to be somebody that, unless you have some kind of rule or something set in place, they're going to take advantage of it.
And they might abuse it.
They're going to abuse it, and they're going to ruin it for everybody else.
That's how it usually works.
You know, that's why you need to have some kind of policy in place if you want to monitor it. So definitely interesting stuff. So moving on to our job seekers.
Tips for chatting with an interviewer.
Yes. I liked this one. It was interesting. A lot of people get confused, job seekers. They don't really know how much of a personal... We talked about it before, how much of your personal life you should talk about in the job interview.
We did. Some people don't know how to do small talk. They can, you know, talk about their professional life and their experiences, their accomplishments. But when it comes to just small talk with the interviewer...
they get nervous.
But it improves their likability. It's an important factor, I'd say, besides being able to answer their questions adequately. You need to be able to kind of chit-chat a little bit, too.
Yeah, you just need to be able to be a social, communicable person, you know?
Throughout.
Exactly, and I think that's kind of another test that companies or hiring managers use for company culture. You know, they want to, maybe it's not important, but maybe it's a company that it is important where, you know, you need to be able to be social with people.
Water cooler talk.
Yeah, and, you know, talk about things that aren't heavy, you know, like...
Agreed.
The article mentioned just be careful of the things that you talk about because it could really, you know, they could use information to judge you disqualify you as a candidate.
Yeah, they said talk professionally about your personal life. So there are some topics that you should avoid and some you should stick with.
Exactly, like talking about how many kids you have.
Right, that's... They might perceive that as, okay, well, they'll probably be spending a lot more time with their kids if they you know, have a lot of kids.
If you talk about, you know, how you have 8 kids and, oh, it's so great that they're all in soccer. And then the interviewer is like, wait a minute, you have 8 kids? Like, this is probably not going to work out because you're not going to be here all the time. So,
definitely.
You know, stick to light topics.
Yeah, sports, they mentioned, very safe topic.
Super Bowl. You
could talk about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you could talk about that.
Yeah.
But stay away from talking about, you know, just be aware of rivals and stick more to the general sport itself.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good call.
But I like how the article and the writer said how somebody will probably rather speak with somebody who likes sports and is like a rival team
lover
rather than somebody who doesn't stay in touch with athletics at all.
I can see that, definitely.
But again, it shouldn't really be part of the decision-making process. So.
Yeah, and the talking also shouldn't be all focused on you. They even mentioned do a little more listening than talking when having small talk with your interviewer.
Right.
And one thing that I know meant worked for me when I was in my job search was maybe if you have something really kind of different that you do in your personal time. Like for me, it was always like frisbee golf, you know. But they don't hear that every day, so then they kind of help remember you. So I think make sure it's a safe topic, but also if it's kind of different from what unique. They would normally hear, unique, use it to your advantage.
Exactly. No, and I just think, you know, having a short conversation, and it depends on the interviewer, but
usually
like right before an interview when you just first meet somebody, you know, they'll make small talk.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that here when I was interviewing people for writing positions. And, you know, you just, oh, how was your drive?
Sure.
You know, so, oh, the weather. Or, you know, and they'll say that, tell me a little bit about yourself. And, you know, it's just, it's a good way to build some kind of rapport.
Yeah, ease into it.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, get on that small talk, but stay away from things that are too personal.
Definitely.
And last but not least, different kinds of company culture.
Yeah, ultimately, you have to decide what's right for you, and I'd say preferably before you even start your search, your job search, kind of so you can narrow down positions of the companies. So take a few minutes to really think, okay, what kind of culture do I really think I would want to work in or best thrive in?
Exactly, and it's easier for seasoned job seekers, people that have already been employed.
Definitely.
And that's why entry-level and internships are so great.
That is true.
Because you get a feel for what kind of work environment you want to work in and what kind won't work for you.
Right.
You know, the article mentions stiff, you know, workers that wear suit and ties all day.
Rigid.
Or laid-back, casual atmosphere. Or the other way around. It could be it's a complete casual atmosphere, but, you know, professional, very professional attire, or casual and very stiff and staunch. So
many different ways it can go.
Yeah, there are. And it's really, really important for job seekers, just as much as it is for employers, to inquire about the company culture. Because if it doesn't work, you're not going to be happy.
Right. And the article mentions a few ways. One is to look at current employees. Maybe when you're there interviewing, take a look at someone else who's working there.
Yes.
Also the company website as well. And it won't always be a good indicator, but sometimes it can.
Yeah. She said not to try to put too much weight on how people are dressed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you really can't judge. Just like I said, they could be all wearing suit and ties, but it could
be
really,
really
lax.
Relaxed.
Yeah. So, you know, just ask questions. And, you know, we've talked before. We've had a couple articles on questions you can ask about company culture.
Definitely.
You know, asking the person what it is they really like working, what they like working in this company. So
that's probably the best way to go with the questions you ask.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to really
get
a good idea of what the culture is like at the company.
She also mentioned, back to social media, mentioned like Twitter. And a lot of people, if you're a really good researcher, if you're really sneaky, you could probably find people that work in that company, find their Twitter accounts, and do a little sneaky research detective work and look at what they're tweeting. And if they complain or see if they say anything about their company on social media, you know, I hate my job or my company's great or I can't wait to go to work, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously people don't tweet things like that. I mean, I don't know, but you just do a little detective work and you can really find out so much, and, you know, it could be to the advantage or disadvantage of the company, but social media is your friend.
Definitely. And even the tone of what's posted, maybe the company Facebook page.
That too.
Exactly. What kind of tone? Does it seem a little more professional? Is it relaxed? Look at the pictures they're posting.
Yeah.
All good ways. Because if you're spending 40-plus hours at this job, you want to make sure the culture is the right fit.
Exactly, because, you know, you can love what you do, but if you don't like who you work with, and that's what the you know, the article and the writer says, if you don't like who you work with, you're not going to be happy.
You won't.
You're really not. So definitely important, just as important as for employers. Mm-hmm. So keep an open mind, do some detective work, and questions.
Yes, questions.
Questions. So that's it for this week's podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any additional questions or would like to weigh in on the articles we discussed, head over to the Spark Hire Job Seeker blog at blog.sparkhire.com and the Human Resources blog at hr.sparkhire.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for fresh content straight in your social media feeds. And don't forget to check back every Monday for a new podcast. That concludes our show for this week. Have a great day.
Have a great week.